Welcome to the Massage Life Podcast. I'm Jordan Pearson. I'm a chartered professional accountant, and I'm here with Melissa Pearson, who's a registered massage therapist. I always say that really weird, like Melissa Pearson, who's a registered massage therapist.
Because you don't normally call me Melissa.
Me
sweetie.
Hey, cutie.
Okay, you know what the weirdest name is? Is Babe.
When babe.
People call their yeah. spouse Babe.
I don't call you that.
No. Maybe we should try it.
No.
You draw the line at Babe.
Okay, today we're talking about burnout. Is that what we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And by we, I mean you. You're just going to be talking. I'm going to be sitting here. I shaved. That's good.
Yes, you don't look crazy anymore.
I looked crazy last time. So, should we just dive right into it?
Yeah. So, the reason why we're talking about this one is two episodes ago, we talked about learning from less than ideal massage experiences. And we talked about how that recent bad experience I had, we said, you know, she probably just had a bad day and wanted to go home, but didn't feel like she could because she was going to lose out on the money from the massage.
Right.
And so in the episode, I said, I don't know what the answer is. Like, you know, it's hard for us. We don't get mental health days. What are we supposed to do? And so I posted a clip of that on Instagram and a bunch of people gave responses and gave some ideas. And so I thought we could chat a little bit more about it today, give some people some ideas for when they're feeling burnt out. Because I think it is a really common problem. It's probably a common problem in all professions.
Oh, absolutely.
I do feel like I see a lot with massage therapists.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's more prevalent for RMTs?
I think so. I don't know. I think there's a few main things that make it more stressful than other. Stressful is not the right word. Maybe it's stressful, but physically, people face burnout physically, right? So it's just physically demanding more so than sitting at a desk, although sitting at a desk has its own physical problems.
Yeah,
too,
but you're using your body to physically manipulate another person to help
them.
It's
a lot of pressure through your joints and your muscles get fatigued. So,
so
there's that aspect of it. And then also there's something called compassion fatigue where you're just like, it's give, give, give. And it really drains you mentally and emotionally.
Right.
And so I think there's that aspect of it as well.
I would imagine it would be even harder if you were an introvert. Right?
Yeah.
And maybe not many RMTs are introverts. I don't know. I mean, we're just totally rambling off, you know, different things.
Yeah, we're not experts.
Yeah,
we're not experts on this by any means. Like, this is just from my own experience and from what I've seen from other people.
Right. But regardless of, you know, what the level of burnout is in other professions, you've noticed that amongst RMTs, it is significant enough for us to talk about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
So I first wanted to start by talking about what burnout is. We kind of use this phrase and it's like, what is that?
Right.
And so I looked up the definition from the Center for Addiction and Mental Health. They state that burnout is a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion caused by excessive and prolonged stress. Burnout in the course of employment can make one feel emotionally drained and unable to function in the context of work and other aspects of life. Burnout can reduce productivity and can lower your motivation and cause you to feel helpless, hopeless, and resentful.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about there.
Yeah. So I think it's a, you know, I mentioned stress earlier and it's a part of stress, but it's excessive and prolonged stress, which I thought was interesting.
Right.
And how it's multifaceted. I thought it's interesting as well. And how it really reduces your productivity. Like it reduces how much you can do. And so it's tricky.
Yeah, when you feel helpless and hopeless, the last thing you want to do is work.
Right.
Right? You feel so defeated.
Yeah. And the word resentful is interesting to me, too. It's like, I don't even want to be here. I don't want to be doing this.
Yeah.
And so definitely a difficult thing to manage for sure. So I guess the main question that we wanted to tackle today is like, well, what can we do then? We know this exists. We know this is a problem. And I think a lot of people can see it coming on, right? I don't think it's one of those things that all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, oh, I'm burnt out. Like, it's gradual.
Yes.
And so what can we do to minimize it or to catch it before it turns into a bigger problem?
Right. Okay.
So first I wanted to share the comments from Instagram because there's some good information there that people shared. So one of the top things people were saying was that they like to get massages themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting that they said that and not, oh, I go for chiropractic adjustments or acupuncture or these other things, which we know are super helpful. Why were people saying massages? Like, I thought that was interesting. Do you have any thoughts why maybe they would say go for specifically for a massage?
Because massage is the best.
Okay, true. We know that.
Like, oh, I'm feeling stressed. I could really use a chiropractor to, you know, just crack my neck right now. That'll fix all my problems.
Yeah. So I do think, it's definitely like the relaxation side of it too. But I think part of it is that it's just nice to be on the flip side of your own job. Do you know what I mean? To be the one on the table.
Okay.
For some reason, there's something like mentally nice about that.
Right. Because you're constantly giving, but you're never the one to receive.
Same service. So I think there's value in like receiving the same service that you give.
Right.
I don't know.
Interesting.
That's
okay.
Just my own thought. So here's some more of the comments. They said, we all have to watch out for compassion fatigue and look after ourselves. This person suggested they book an extra long weekend every now and then. They said, I know when burnout is coming for me and how many clients is too many usually. But yeah, I can't just call my clients and say, hi, I know I expect you to cancel 24 hours before, but I'm canceling you today because I woke up really burnt out. Right? It's like, we kind of expect this, don't cancel on me. And so, yeah, it's hard for us to cancel on other people.
Right, right.
And then she said, I found the world works in mysterious ways. And when I am feeling really down or sick, end up with a no-show or cancellation at the perfect time. I remember the week of my wedding, I had 3 evening clients cancel, and I was so happy I didn't have to cancel or move them myself or have to just work through them, and it worked itself out. I've noticed that before, too. It's kind of weird.
Right.
Like, please, like I hope
the universe just aligns and everything's, yeah. Okay.
So that is handy. I mean, that doesn't always happen, but that is nice. So someone else said, it's an unhealthy, stressful environment for long-term mental health. No helpful info there. They're just chiming in like, yes.
Yeah, it's the worst.
It's the worst.
I don't know why I'm here.
Someone said, do you trudge through and suck it up for fear of financial loss, angering a client, and the possibility a client doesn't reschedule if you're the one who has to change your calendar? Do you take clients on a 2 or 3 week schedule rotation where your second or third week is lighter to account for some more me time? Do you have a flex day or just have savings for a day off? It's hard to say because everyone's setup, needs, and schedule are different. Self-care is not selfish, and we can't fully give energy to each treatment when we aren't refilling our own cups from time to time. And I really like that comment. That was from Kelly from Breakthrough Massage Academy, and we're actually hosting her on the podcast in a couple weeks here. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, it'll be nice to chat with her. And so I like that everyone's needs are different. And so these suggestions, it's like there's not one perfect solution.
Right.
So
I know we're going to get into the solutions, but I haven't really come prepared at all.
classic Jordan. It's fine.
Well, you're making it seem like I'm a complete schmuck.
No.
I'm not lazy.
You're not. Right? I just throw these things together. Yeah. Don't keep you in the loop.
You had this idea. And so I'm sure you've gathered some thoughts. I have a few things that I wanted to comment on. So you've noted that massage therapists like to get massage, but I wonder for a lot of them, because I imagine a lot of massage therapists don't have health benefits. Maybe they do if they're married to someone who has a job.
Or they pay into a plan.
Right, or they pay into a plan themselves. And so the financial obligation that's tied to that may be something that's keeping them from getting massage. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if massage therapists trade with other therapists or
I hate trading.
I know.
I hate it. People always say that. Clients always say that. Oh, don't you just trade with other massage therapists? And no, because when I'm getting the massage, the whole time I'm thinking, well, now I have to give a massage.
Right, right.
Again, it doesn't fill my cup because it's equal. It's like, well, I've been filled, but now I'm depleted again when I have to give the next one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So whether you just budget for that, right? Yeah. You set money aside, you know that this is, okay, I need a massage, you know, every 2 months or every month or whatever. It's tough because it's not something that you can write off as a business expense. I know some therapists do that. It's not a legitimate business expense. And so, I mean, that's a whole nother discussion, but something to take into consideration. Again, it's just something that you should budget for. And, you know, if that's something that's going to help you, mentally, physically, and allows you to be able to make more money, mm-hmm. then it's totally worth the $100 or whatever it ends up being.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thought that I had has escaped me, and so I can't remember.
That's okay. We're going to talk later about lots of ideas, so I'm sure it'll come up again.
Right.
All right. Another comment from someone was, try and take 3-day weekends twice a month and some random weekdays off. I purposefully only work on average 21 hours a week to keep from physically burning out. I think this is a common thread of just like really managing your schedule and not overworking. Right. It's tempting. You're like, well, if I see this many people, I can make this much money. And so it's tempting to just pack your schedule really full, but you can't. You can only do that for so long. That's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Someone said, exercising and eating well so you don't get sick often is also very helpful. I have never really felt so burnt out that I couldn't give my patients 100%, even when I have personal stuff going on. Every contractor should build a buffer of savings, regardless if for some reason you were injured or couldn't work for an extended period of time. But if you have the savings, then you feel less stressed financially. So that's a huge one. We'll dive more into that one later on. But yeah,
I like it. Kind of goes back to what I was saying, right? Like just budget for it.
Budget for it, yeah.
Yeah.
And someone said, I get 2 massage treatments a month by trading with RMT friends. So there's the trading idea.
Okay.
They said,
I mean, for some therapists, that's going to work.
Totally. And this person said, I would highly recommend this. And I do think that what you receive is like more than what you give. Do you know what I mean? You know, that example I gave of like, oh yeah, my cup is filled, but then I just have to pour it out again. And it's like, I don't think that's true. I think I get more out of it of receiving a treatment, and I am able to give one back in return, and it doesn't fully deplete me.
Yes.
This person said, this is helpful as it not only helps to heal my body, but also my mind and soul. I now limit the number of treatments that I do in one day because it is not worth it. In the past, I have worked during incredibly difficult times when it was very hard to stay grounded. I think it is important to realize that massage therapists have days just like everyone else. That's why tipping a massage therapist that is an independent contractor can help provide that buffer. Or better yet, just work for yourself. And the last comment is, whenever I take a mental health day, which is rare, I end up stressing about the financial aspect and finding spots for those clients who missed out on that day. It's mostly not worth it for me. I've been plucking 1 to 3 days out of the month that I take off and take an extra client here and there. That seems to work a little. I agree. If you take it off, you're like, oh, I'm going to have this relaxing day. And the whole time you're stressing about how much money that day is costing you.
Right.
Stuff.
The opportunity cost. Wow. Yeah. I could be making this much money today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think if you plan in advance, it's less stressful instead of just taking off a random day or rescheduling people, moving them around. I think if it's already just built into your schedule, that's your me weekend or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit less stressful.
And I know we're going to get into solutions, but just kind of along that same vein, I think, so if you have a weekend and it's going to be your mental health weekend, really be intentional about booking something that's going to recharge you.
Yeah.
Whether you, you know, drive out to the mountains or you fly somewhere or you, whatever, right? Do something that's going to fill your bucket.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like, oh, I have a day off. And then you just end up doing laundry all day.
Yeah.
Right? That's not helpful.
Right. Agreed. Yeah. And wherever that is that you fit that in into your week, maybe you don't take a full weekend all the time. Maybe that doesn't work for your lifestyle. You have kids you need to take care of, whatever. Wherever those pockets of time are that you carve out for yourself, this is my me time, you have to be really intentional about it.
Right.
And you have to think about what recharges you, right? Because it's different for everybody. Watching a funny movie, maybe that is totally your thing that fills your bucket.
Yeah.
For some people, that's not it. For some people, it's painting. For other people, it's being in nature. It's going to be different for everyone, but you have to find the thing that really fills you.
Yes.
And be intentional about it, because otherwise, you're right, we ended up just like...
And that's why it's hard to have a discussion like this or for people to post on Instagram, because it's like everybody's solution to the problem is so different.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, for somebody, they, you know, spending 6 hours painting may be exactly what they need, but for somebody else, it's like, I have no interest in that whatsoever.
Right.
And so you, yeah, to your point, you have to do the thing that's going to actually fill your bucket.
It's like, reminds me of my mom. Do you remember a few years ago when those adult coloring books became really popular?
Yeah.
It was like a craze.
I remember buying you one.
Yeah, it was a thing. And my mom was like, I hate these coloring books. I get so stressed. Oh, I'm using the wrong colors. Oh, I went out of the lines. Oh, what? She's like, this thing is giving me anxiety. She like chucked it across the room. So
did someone buy it for her?
Yeah, everyone had them. I don't know if someone bought it for her or if she bought it for herself, but everyone somehow ended up with these coloring books. She's like, this is stupid.
That's so
funny. But for other people, that's their thing, right?
Right.
So
right.
You have to find your
thing. You have to find your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I have a long list of more ideas. One of them is more the physical side of things. So
Solutions to the problem.
Solutions to the problem.
Can I say mine? Because I remembered it.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know if this is on your list.
No, probably.
But you were talking about, forget exactly what you said, but you were talking about just the clients. And I think that there are some clients, and I've noticed this with you, there are some clients that you're really excited to go and treat, and then others that you kind of dread.
Right.
Because they're such a drain.
Right.
And I think as a therapist, one of the best things that you can do is kind of be selective about who you treat.
Right.
Right. And I don't know exactly how you go about doing that. Maybe you have some advice, right? You're talking about one client in particular that you want to fire, but it's like, that's tough to do, right? Like, how do you go about firing someone? Maybe that's mm-hmm. a discussion for another podcast.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, if you're only seeing those clients that you love to treat and that really like just being around them is, you know, fills your bucket, then mm-hmm. that's like, That's a win-win right there.
Definitely.
And so I don't know how you do that. You know, in the course that we're releasing here in a couple of weeks, we talked a little bit about pricing and how if you price yourself too low, you're going to attract the $60 client or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Those clients who are maybe a little bit more demanding, right? Because they can afford less. I mean, I don't want to insult anybody, but you know, you're offering a premium service, and if you price yourself too low, you're going to attract, I have to be careful about what I say here,
right.
But you know what I mean.
Just people that may not respect your time as much or respect their own time, right? So it's like, ah, $60, who cares if I miss my appointment or whatever.
Right.
Those are the types of clients that annoy me the most. It's not the demanding clients who are like, oh, I have, you know, this pain and this pain and this pain. Those aren't the clients that really stress me out. It's the clients who don't respect my time, you know, are flaky and canceling all the time. But they don't respect their own time either. It's just like, don't you care about your own like mental and physical health to book a massage? But
right.
Yeah, it's tricky to be kind of picky about clients, because you're right. Especially when you have online booking and anyone can just book themselves in. Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe if people had to call you, you could weed people out a little bit better over the phone. So I think definitely we should have a separate podcast about it, about how to be selective with people and how to fire someone.
And I know it's tough for some therapists because you might be in a position where you're trying to build your practice. Mm-hmm. And so you're not really at a point where you can be selective about who you're going to treat, right? You just need to get bodies on the table.
Yeah.
But eventually you're going to reach a point where you have, you know, a lot of clients and you can be a little bit more selective. And for some of them, you may have to say to them, you know, I don't think that I'm the best fit for you. I think that you mm-hmm. should go and see so-and-so or whoever.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think one thing that you can do is also pick a demographic that you enjoy working with. Not exactly one like particular person. You think about a whole, for example, I really like doing pediatric massage. That fills me. For some people, that is like so draining.
Yes.
And mind you, it is sometimes draining for me too, but I really enjoy it overall. And so, you know, I do more advertising about that, right?
Right, to attract
to
that.
To attract clientele. That.
Yes.
So you need to do the same. If you love working with, I don't know, burn victims or something, like you cater your marketing towards that to attract those types of people.
Right. So. And how you would do that is establish yourself as the expert, right? Mm-hmm. So if you enjoy working with young kids, well, maybe you need to take some specialized training so that you're good. You can market yourself as an expert in that field,
right?
I have this additional training. I have kids of my own, right? I have experience working with kids. Mm-hmm. It's something that I'm really passionate about, and I have the skills to be able to treat kids effectively.
Yeah.
And so, and then you're attracting that clientele.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this idea is so key, because overall, then your work isn't so draining.
Right.
You can see more people in a day because you're doing the thing that makes you excited, the thing you're passionate about.
Totally.
So I think actually that's like the main takeaway of today. So good job for that one.
I nailed it. I will go to sleep now.
You're like, I can leave now. Bye. All right. So the other one I wanted to talk about was more the physical side of things. A lot of people get burnt out physically. I've seen so many injured massage therapist,
right?
You get carpal tunnel, you get tendonitis, you name it. And so I think one thing that contributes to that is doing a lot of deep pressure massage or massage where you're not using proper body mechanics. And so it's a tricky one because a lot of clients like deep pressure. Mm-hmm. And so that's up to you how you want to navigate that. I just refuse.
Yeah.
I will still do firm pressure, but I am not as deep as some people, because it's not worth it to me. I'm not going to injure myself and I can't work.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and you've made a point of, like, when a client calls you and asks you if you do deep tissue massage, like, mm-hmm. you're really upfront with them and say, like, that's not my area of expertise.
It's not my specialty. Yeah.
It's not my specialty.
Here, go see so-and-so.
Right? And so, if again, if you market yourself as the, I'm the deep pressure person, mm-hmm. right? Well, you're going to have all these clients that expect that and you're going to wreck yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And so, again, if that's what you enjoy doing and your body can physically handle that, because mm-hmm. every therapist is built different, mm-hmm. then great. I mean, I had a massage a couple weeks ago from a therapist. She was a small girl, but she beat me up. she destroyed my
body. It's always deceiving. I swear the smallest people give the deepest pressure.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I said I wanted a relaxation massage. And
maybe
nothing,
that was the relaxation.
There's nothing
next time, can you go and ask for deep pressure? I want to see.
I was like, do you hate me? What did I do to deserve this? And of course, we're too scared to say, like, yeah, it's
too much. They're like, how's the pressure? You're like, it's great.
I feel great. So I didn't say anything. Goodness. And by the end, I was sore for days after that. And it wasn't an enjoyable experience.
Right.
But I was thinking, I mean, whatever. It was covered by benefits. I don't really care. But I was thinking more about the therapist, mm-hmm. right? Like, is that the kind of massage that you give every single mm-hmm. time?
The default? Yeah.
If so, your hands must be so sore, right? Yeah. Your body must be so sore. Maybe not, though. Maybe she's just built different and she can handle that. And if so, like, great. If she loves doing that and it works for her, more power to you.
Yeah.
But I'm not convinced that it's sustainable.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you've had a really long career, and I think a big part of the reason why is because you've kind of moved away from that.
Right.
Right? And I mean, this is a discussion for another podcast, and I'm not a therapist at all, and I'm not a scientist or anything, but I feel so much better when I just get a light relaxation massage. Mm-hmm. These deep tissue massages, for my own experience, mm-hmm. have never been helpful, ever.
Right.
They've never been helpful. Mm-hmm. I'm always in so much more pain afterwards. I have to recover from the massage. And it's not good.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the science says.
Yeah.
But from my own personal experience, I will never do it.
Right. Yeah, definitely. We're just racking up ideas for another, more podcasts.
I feel like I'm making enemies.
I think it's good to know. And I had a client the other day, actually. It was a new client. And then I saw her for the second time. And she said, today's treatment, can we go lighter on this one area? She said she was sore for several days after. And I didn't even do deep pressure on her, because, like I said, I don't even do deep pressure.
Yeah.
But it was too much for her. And so we do need to be careful to not hurt people. It's like, they're already in pain.
Yeah. And I feel like it's just, you know, we just do these things because we're told that this is the most helpful thing mm-hmm. to do.
Well, right? Sometimes the clients like it. Like, for this client, I know I checked in with her several times. I especially check in a lot with new clients because I don't know what their preference is, right? So I know I checked in a lot with her, and it was fine during the treatment. So often I think we're like, yeah, it was great. You know, it was great treatment. And then what if that client just never rebooks with you? You don't even know that you've actually hurt that person because during the treatment, it felt fine. Often it's how they feel after.
Right.
So, yeah, we do need to be careful.
Well, I think, like, for me, for so many years, I was convinced that, oh, yes, I'm the tough athlete. I need to go in there. I need to get beat up because that's going to be the best thing for me. And so that's always what I did. Mm-hmm. But I don't know when the turning point was, but I remember getting a massage. And it was just like a nice, relaxing massage, no deep pressure, just like
nice. It was probably Melody.
Yeah,
your lover, Melody.
Melody, where are you? She's in the Netherlands somewhere. Isn't that where she moved?
You're going to go find her one day, I know it. Goodness.
But when I had that relaxation massage, and I just was like, I was on cloud nine after.
Right.
Right? It was like, this is so much better.
Right.
Right? And so I think a lot of people, they just don't know. They're just blind to the fact that there's a better way.
Right.
And yeah. Anyways, I'll get off my soapbox.
Okay. Where are we here? We're just going on this rabbit trail. I like it. All right. So another thing physically is, if you do mobile massage, to carry a lighter table. If you're lugging around a heavy table, you're not going to last.
Yeah.
And I can speak from personal experience.
Yeah. You wrecked yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I could just use my heavy Oak Works table.
How much did that thing weigh?
It was over 50 pounds.
Over 50?
Well, because I also loaded a heavy stool into the front pocket and a pillow or bolster in it. And yeah, it has wooden legs. It's
heavy.
It's thick foam. It's just, it's a wide table.
It's not meant to be used for mobile.
No.
Yeah.
No, and I, it was hard because I was just starting out. I didn't want to buy another table. That's actually a really good table. Yeah. So I thought, well, I don't want to invest $500 into another table. Your health is worth the investment, yeah. though. Buy yeah. another table. So after I hurt myself.
Yeah, because there was a period of time where you couldn't work because you had rest
yourself.
Yeah, I had
to take a little bit of time off.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you lost out on the money anyway. So
yeah, exactly.
It's like, ridiculous. Yeah, that table was, because your new table is, what, 25 pounds? So it was
something like
two
that.
Times the yeah. weight?
Yeah, that's it's crazy. Really noticeable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get the aluminum leg ones if you're doing mobile. All right. Another idea is to make sure you're taking lunch breaks and snack breaks. I remember sometimes I'd work a Saturday. It was tricky when I was at home all week with the kids and I would just work Saturdays, maybe also a Friday or an evening here and there. And so I really wanted to maximize my time. Mm-hmm. And I would open my schedule 9 to 5 and I wouldn't block myself a lunch break because I thought to myself, this is my work day. I'll just work. But that is not healthy.
No.
Especially massaging is like exercise.
Yeah.
Right? And so can you imagine running all day? I mean, obviously that's more strenuous.
I've done that.
Can you imagine doing that without any water or food?
The longest run I did was close to 8 hours.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
With hills. It was terrible.
Yeah. Right? And so imagine if you weren't eating or drinking, how you would feel.
Yeah.
And so we need to make sure we're taking breaks, even though it costs money. But like, it doesn't cost money. It sort of costs money in the loss of money.
Right.
But it's worth it. And also, even just to go to the bathroom, you know, you have to take breaks. And also, some people really cram their clients close together. I worked at a clinic where they put only 10 minutes in between, and 10 minutes is not enough time.
No.
Even 15 minutes is fine. But for some reason, 10, you just have enough time to switch the sheets and then you're working again. So you do need that couple extra minutes, even to just regroup mentally. Even if you're done your tasks, you've remade the table, whatever. Just need like a breather for a moment.
Just a minute to just like...
Yeah. Reset.
Yes.
So I would really recommend... Again, everyone's different. Do what works for you. For me, I can't do the 10-minute thing. I need at least 15 minutes.
Right.
And yeah, someone already mentioned this in one of those comments, but exercise and eat healthy, that's huge for sure. Getting peer support is important, especially for massage therapists. We're very isolated. Yes, mm-hmm. we are with another person, but we need more coworker support. Mm-hmm. And it's really a hard one for me because I'm on my own. I mean, I have
me.
A contractor.
You have me, Melissa.
I always have you. I can vent to you. But yeah, I do have a contractor, but because we're mobile, I hardly see her.
Right.
And so it's been really nice to have, you know, our social media pages and even having this podcast, just having kind of an outlet is really important.
Right.
So making sure that you seek out support from others. So not only coworkers and other massage therapists, but even just social events with other people is really important.
Well, and you should, I mean, I think about Heather who works for you. You should go for lunch on a regular basis. And that's something that you can write off as a business expense. Mm-hmm. Like just go out, have lunch with another therapist, talk about work, whatever. Write it off. That's reasonable.
Right. Even if for someone who doesn't have a contractor, if you just want to go out for lunch with another massage therapist, talk business stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. If you work in a clinic, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing that you kind of already mentioned a little bit, but continuous learning, it helps keep work engaging and interesting. So mm-hmm. sometimes massage can get a little monotonous and you get kind of into this like robotic, it feels like Groundhog Day. Every day it's just kind of the same. Yeah. And so shaking it up by learning something new is really helpful. Another thing that can be helpful is delegating tasks. So when the plate's too full, sometimes you need to take something off of that plate and put it on someone else's plate. Not to overwhelm someone else, but you may have to pay someone to, you know, help you with admin work or maybe a social media manager or something like that.
Right.
Delegate tasks when you're feeling overwhelmed. And a really great way to do that is to automate as much as you can.
Yes. Right. Pay for Jane. Or Notaro.
Yeah.
Right? The booking and billing software is huge.
Like if you are picking up the phone and doing reminder phone calls, need to stop today.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Yes.
No one has time for that.
You're losing money. Because a lot of people, they look at the price tag and it's like, I don't want to pay $120 a month or whatever it is. Right? You have a contractor and you have the insurance automation.
Yeah, mine's around there. I think the base plan's like $80 though. Yeah.
But it's like, no, you're doing it wrong. If you're picking up the phone and you're doing it like manually through a day timer, like stop, mm-hmm. because you're losing money.
Yeah.
A bunch of different ways, right? Like, when was the last time, like, you don't have a lot of clients that no-show or cancel,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they get automated emails, automated text mm-hmm. messages. Like, you don't have to deal with any of that,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, yeah, it's so much better.
Yeah. Or filling in, say you're doing receipts either manually with paper and pen,
no.
or filling out, you know, an Excel like document that you're.
Yeah. It pays for itself, right? Like, $100 a month. I mean, think about how much time you would have to spend, you know, booking all those appointments manually, mm-hmm. filling out all those receipts manually, even if it is on a computer, right? Mm-hmm, like printing mm-hmm. it, emailing it. Like, it's more than, it's several hours worth of extra work.
Yeah.
Your time is worth the $100.
Right.
Yeah. It's peanuts.
Yeah. Even the other thing I eventually did was paid for the upgraded Jane that has the insurance
right.
integration with TELUS eClaims. At first I thought, it's not worth it. It's not a big deal for me to log into TELUS eClaims, enter the information. It does save a lot of, you know, if it's a repeat client, it saves their information, their name, their birthday. They don't have to fill it in every time. But no, it was enough time. I was monitoring how much time I was taking to do that, and it was enough time that to pay the extra, I forget how much extra it is, $20.
It was like $20.
Something extra a month. No, it's totally worth it. Now for me to take a direct billing, to submit a direct billing with Jane, TELUS eClaims, it takes just as long as taking a credit card payment. It's literally one button.
Yeah. Click, done.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe an extra one to, you have to scroll down and click if it's at the client's home or at your clinic space.
Right.
Two buttons I have to click. Yeah. So it's worth it for sure. Delegate as much as you can.
Yeah.
Automate things. Another one is to take vacations. So take time to just leave it all behind.
Yeah.
And turn off your phone, disconnect. Like, we went on a cruise a little while ago and we did not pay for the internet plan specifically so that I didn't even have to see any of it.
Yeah.
And not even just work stuff, even just everything else, you know?
I
didn't want to be on TikTok or anything. I literally just wanted to lay there in the sun and do nothing. But my kids, of course, wanted ice cream and things.
I just
wanted
to shove ice cream into my face and just lay out in the sun.
Yes, it was glorious.
Yeah.
Although, again, vacations cost money, so people, I think, are hesitant to do those things. But I think it's worth it. It really is worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Another way that you can avoid burnout is by charging more for your services.
Yes.
Right? If you're not charging enough, then you feel like all you do all day is work because you need the money. And it's like, you could see less clients if you just charge more.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a podcast that I used to listen to. I think it was My First Million. And I remember they were talking about how one guy in particular, Sam Parr, he was talking about how he would buy up businesses. He would buy a business. And then the only thing he would do was double the price of whatever it was they were selling. And their revenue would double, right? Because a lot of people, they think, well, you know, I don't want to charge more because then I'm going to lose clients. It's like, yeah, you might use some, but probably not,
mm-hmm.
right? And so a lot of therapists, they think, well, I want to price myself below the market so that I can ensure that I'm busy all the time. And it's like, that's, nobody cares,
yeah,
right? Like, from what I've seen, people know that it's $110, $120, whatever it is for a 60-minute massage, like, charge what the market price is. You're a registered massage therapist. Don't discount yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? Charge the market price.
Yeah.
Right? And if you charge less than the market price, then, you know, you're going to attract a different clientele.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Or you're going to attract... Yeah, you're not going to attract people because no one wants the cheapest of the cheapest.
Right. Or they look at that and it's like, Why
is
this
something
so cheap?
Wrong with you, or is this sketchy?
Like,
or
are you? Because I've had the thought. It's like, okay, wait a minute. Okay, this is only. Cause I saw, recently it was a $60 1 hour massage.
Really?
And it's like $60.
No, that's what it was in like the early 90s.
Well, I automatically assume, okay, this person's not a registered massage therapist. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but that's the assumption that I draw.
Interesting.
$60, not an RMT, not even going to bother. Not even going to entertain that, right? It's a $60 massage. It might be a registered massage therapist. I could submit it for reimbursement. She's probably a fantastic therapist,
mm-hmm.
right? He or she, whoever, right? Price yourself what the market is charging.
Right.
You're doing yourself a disservice if you don't.
Yeah.
So if you're charging less than market price, change it now.
Yeah.
Right?
And I know it's scary. I get it. I've been there. I've been so scared to raise my prices. But when I've raised my rates once, and about a year ago, and when I sent out the email saying my prices are going up, it was only by $10. I adjusted some of the other ones, you know, the 30 minute was like a little mm-hmm. bit more. One of them stayed the same. I don't know. I adjusted them all. But the 60-minute, the most popular one, went up by $10. I thought, oh, no, maybe people will cancel because I had some bookings in the future. Sent out an email, and I'm, like, waiting by my computer. I'm like, what's going to happen? Am I going to get cancellations? Gonna be mad at me. No, I got, like, 10 bookings that day.
People don't care.
I got 10 bookings. Like, oh, an email from Melissa. Oh, yeah, I should book a massage. Oh, she raised her rates? Eh, whatever.
Yeah.
Nobody cared.
Yeah, you, in fact, had one client who was like, you're not charging enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that was prior to me increasing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I thought, oh, okay. I guess I'll increase it.
So change your price.
Yeah, I think that's a huge one. Along with that is the idea of working for yourself.
Yes.
So it offers you help in two ways. One, flexibility, which is huge for your mental health, right? If you can work around, you know, your kids' schedules, you can, just being in control of it. I know a lot of people do have some control over their schedule when they work for a clinic, but you have more control when you work for yourself. You can, work a little later in the evening, a little earlier in the morning, whatever you need to do to fit it around your life. That's huge. Yeah. And then also you just make more money that way.
Yeah.
I know there's a bit more work with it, but again, it's worth it. So that's my big tip.
Yeah. A, you make more money, and then B, a lot of your household expenses that you would incur anyways,
right,
they're likely not going to increase at all. Right? It's not like you're now offering massage out of your home. It's not like
your electrical bill is
going to change by any significant amount, but you now get to write off a portion of that because you're working from home.
Right.
Right? And so it's like, A, you're going to be making more money. B, you're going to have more of your personal expenses that you can write off for business purposes. Right.
Or like your cell phone. I'm going to have a cell phone regardless. Yes. Now I can write that.
Now you can write off half of it or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. And if people are interested in working for themselves, I am running a in-person mobile massage course in Calgary in September and January. If you want to join me, it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I know that course is for mobile massage specifically, but I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it would benefit anybody who's even just looking to set up a home-based practice.
Yeah, a lot of it would be relevant.
A lot of it's the same.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff you're going to kind of cover.
Right. And we are launching Amy's course soon as well online, which is going to cover working for yourself, whether from your home or mobile. So that's also going to be awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And our biggest tip, at least my biggest tip, is stop keeping up with the Joneses.
Yes.
So people think, they work a lot because they need to make a lot of money. And why do you need to make a lot of money? I mean, obviously, you have expenses, and freaking groceries are $1 billion, and gas is expensive, and I get it. Life is expensive. It's really bad right now. But I think there's this huge pressure to have what you think everyone else has. And it is really hard for me doing mobile because I get to enter these really fancy homes, and I'm like, ooh, I would love that. Oh, wow, look at how fancy their couch is. Or, wow, these things that I would love to have are, wow, look at this huge backyard. And you get this jealous nature sometimes of, oh, I want that.
Yeah, you become envious.
Envious, yeah. But you need to live within your means. And there's so much freedom and joy in having a buffer of having savings and to not live so close to that edge that if anything wrong happens, you're gonna fall off.
Yeah, yeah.
So we need to stop doing that.
Yeah.
I think it's the curse of social media, right? We see what everyone else has. We think, oh, wow, they're so happy. Look at all the cool things they have. Or look at the cool things they're doing. But I guarantee you, those people are either broke or not as happy as they are portraying.
Yeah. I mean, what's the phrase? We use money we don't have to buy things we don't want to impress people who we don't like. That's the phrase, right? It's like nobody cares. Yeah. Right. Nobody cares what house you live in or what car you drive. You think that they care, but they don't care.
Right.
And we've tried to, we've tried. Like that's like our philosophy in life. The cars that we drive they get us from point A to point B. They're not the nicest cars in the world. I could care less. Right. We live in a small, modest home. It works for us. We have 3 kids. It's comfortable. It's cozy. Maybe a little bit too tight at sometimes, but
too cozy.
but it works, right? And if I'm not working right now, I'm in between jobs. It's like if I don't find something right away, like that's totally fine.
It's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Like we've created this buffer because our expenses aren't insane.
Yeah.
Like it was even interesting looking when we bought the place that we're living in right now. We could have, based on my income and your income, we could have bought a much bigger house with a much bigger mortgage. And we intentionally opted for something more modest because we didn't want to be in this trap of having this insane mortgage payment and all these additional expenses that come with having a bigger house. It's like, no, I'd rather save what I can and be able to go on that vacation when I want, mm-hmm. Than trying to keep up with everyone else.
Yeah. It's hard though.
It is hard. Yes.
It's yes. Easier said than done.
Yeah.
But just the mental freedom is worth it. To not have that stress. I can't imagine staying up late at night thinking, how are you going to make it to the next paycheck? Or, you know,
it's stressful.
That's so stressful. That's scary.
Yeah.
And so if you can like downsize and do without, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes both ways because yes, you want to live within your means, but at the same time, like we've also talked about, there's things that you can do to increase your income. Like a lot of times people, when they're in a tough financial position, they only take into consideration the expenses, right? What can I do to lower my expenses? And it's like, well, and then they fail to ask the question, what can I do to raise my income,
mm-hmm.
right? You should be asking both of those questions, right? How can I raise my income and how can I lower my expenses, mm-hmm. right? Am I spending money on things that I shouldn't be spending money on?
Mm-hmm.
But also, is there a way for me to make more money,
mm-hmm.
right? Ask both of those questions. We don't want to make it seem like our advice is to just live like peasants, right? We don't want to be like, you know, we live a nice, comfortable life, right? But we don't overextend ourselves, right? And I think a lot of people do because they're trying to keep up with everyone else and it's just not, yeah, people don't care as much as you think they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the same time, a lot of people are really struggling for that reason, right? Like I have so many friends who bought the big house because they could afford it. And now interest rates have gone up and everything else is more so much more expensive. And now they're struggling financially
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they've overextended themselves.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel for them,
mm-hmm.
but maybe you shouldn't have bought that BMW. Like, yeah, you could afford it, but was that the best financial decision?
Mm-hmm.
No, nobody cares. Nobody cares about what car you drive.
Yeah. But maybe they care.
And that's the other thing, right? Like, and that I can respect that, right? Like if you're passionate about cars and it's something that, you know, like you want to be able to drive the nice car, then again, more power to you. If it fits within your budget and it makes financial sense, then go for it. For me, I'm just speaking about from our personal mm-hmm. experience, right? I don't care that I drive a crappy car where the bumper is literally falling off right now. Like it actually is reaching the point where it's a little bit embarrassing. It's like maybe we should buy a new car.
It's like not even legal anymore. The cops pull you over. You're like, you know, yeah. You need to stop with this car.
Or you pull up for a you know, at a client's home.
I know.
And they're like
park around the corner. They're like, where'd you park? Oh, I just parked over there.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I walked here.
Don't look at my car.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
This is interesting.
Did you have anything else on your list?
Just that was it, but I did want to make a note about, we're talking about burnout, and sometimes it's hard to know where this line is between burnout and stress and maybe depression or anxiety. And I think you need to really evaluate where you're at. And if it's,
mm-hmm.
if you need help, that you need to speak to a doctor or a counselor and get help from a professional, right? Depending on how severe your burnout is.
Yeah.
Because those things help a ton. Like speaking to a professional, both you and I can attest to that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking to a psychiatrist, so, so helpful.
Yeah.
And so I think just reach out for professional help. Or speak to a trusted friend if you really need some assistance at this time.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Yeah, just going back to my own personal experience, just speaking from my career path as a chartered professional accountant. For years, I was doing accounting work that wasn't suited to my interests, right? I was doing work that, you know, was compliance work, like audit. And, you know, I was good at it, but I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy doing it. And so when I had to go to work, it was just like this grind, right? Getting through the day. And yeah, I was making a ton of money, but it I mean, the money that I was making, it wasn't worth the stress and the anxiety that came with having to do that type of work. And so it wasn't until I found work that was more suited to my interests as an accountant that it, you know, I actually started to enjoy what I was doing. And I ended up making like significantly less than what I was making before, but now I'm actually doing work that I really enjoy. And so I think my advice to massage therapists is, you know, going back to what we were talking about, working with clients that are of interest to you and that you're passionate about working with, and really trying to kind of mold your career around that. And I think you have a little bit more freedom to do that when you're working for yourself. When you work at a clinic, you're kind of just at the mercy of whoever books at that clinic. One of the reasons why I think it's so great to just venture out on your own. And then the other thing, and I hesitate to say this because I never want to discourage anyone from, you know, finding a different career path, but I mean, sometimes that is a necessary thing to do, right? And it's hard, right? If you've gone through all the schooling and now you're working as a massage therapist and you find that, hey, this is not what I thought it was going to be, I don't enjoy doing this, then it may be wise for you to make a career change. Right. And that's fine too. Like I think about this one coworker that I had a number of years ago. He was in accounting, but he wasn't a professional accountant, so he didn't have his designation, but he worked in our accounts receivable department, and he wanted to become a CPA. And he had a wife and a young kid, and he was apprehensive about going down that path because he was like, it's so much schooling and it's going to be so stressful, and like I'm getting older, and it's like does this make sense? And I remember telling him, I was like, in 5 years from now, feel like you're going to look back on this moment and just say to yourself, like, I wish that I had done that because I could have been done right now.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you're really in a bad spot, right, mentally, and you know, you've talked it to a trusted professional, like I understand there's clinical depression, but sometimes it's just, no, you hate what you do.
Right.
Right. Sometimes you're not clinically depressed.
Yeah, it's situational.
Right. And that was the situation for me. Mm-hmm. Right. And I thought I was clinically depressed and I went on antidepressants and it was like, no. I actually just hate this part of my life. Right. I don't need antidepressants. I need to change what it is that I'm doing. I need a different job. Right. And now I'm so much happier. I'm so much happier with where I'm at in my life. And so, again, not to discount, you know, people who are clinically depressed. Again, you should talk to a trusted professional and kind of work through those issues on your own. But just speaking from my own personal experience, it's just so much better to have a job that you enjoy doing, that you love doing. Yeah. Not to say that there's still going to be things about that job that you hate.
Right.
Right? That comes with the territory.
Yeah.
I don't think you're ever going to have a job where it's like amazing.
Yeah,
all
every day
the time.
Is like butterflies and rainbows. And yeah.
Right. Like I've heard that even with some professional athletes.
Yeah.
Right. You know, a lot of these guys, they're making millions of dollars, like all the money in the world.
Yeah. For it's like them, a dream job. Yeah.
Yeah. For them, it's not about like, they don't have to deal with the financial burden. Right. But they still have other things that are a source of stress for them. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's hard for them.
Yeah.
Even to be a professional athlete. Like,
there's a lot of pressure on you in that position.
Yeah, for so many other different reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, I like that.
Any other embarrassing stories that you have or anything else you want to add?
No, no embarrassing stories today. I'll have to do something embarrassing this week, so I have a story for next time.
My whole life is one embarrassing moment. Okay. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, that's it for me.
Okay. We'll see you guys next time.
See ya.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to stay in touch, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We've included the links to these in the show notes. Also, be sure to check out our website, onlinewellness.ca, if you need any continuing education credits. All of our courses have been approved by massage associations across Canada. Anyways, we'll catch you next time.